Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Did you think that we were weird back then? It's like whenever we would interact, it was like, I think there was always this like a little brow crinkle, right? I hear there's some surprise or at least something we can.
Yeah, look at the...
Right, come on in.
Come on in, boys.
Mr. Red, Mr. Lee.
Hey, shorties.
Hello, how you doing? Guys?
What's up, it's short?
Hey, short stuff.
Short kings.
Hey, short stuff.
Gotta get.
What's up? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me.
There's Greg.
Yeah, right there's
Greg. Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are really grown.
What do you mean?
Since we've been waiting out there.
We've been grown.
Yeah, we've been growing a lot.
We grew a long time. Yeah, we've grown emotionally.
There's been a lot of emotional growth since
our friendship has grown.
We're not responding.
Yeah. Ow! Ow! Stop touching my ankle.
No, it's a soft caress.
I mean, ooh.
I actually think
stop touching my ankle.
This is the newest part.
Yeah. That is my actual.
Yeah.
That's old. This is.
Yeah, it grows from the base.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Relax a little bit. It grows.
Sorry, I'm a little tense. I'm a little tense. Guys, we. comfortable.
Wow. Can you do that, Anthony?
No, I'm not that flexible.
You have three knees.
I accidentally kicked a pole earlier.
Yeah, right.
It happens. Shattered my shin. So.
I just think it's kind of weird that everyone talks about you guys being the tall guys, but I don't know, kind of like a sleeper.
But you're always sitting down.
Right.
That's the issue. True, we got to do more things where we're standing.
Yeah. Well, I can't stand up. My legs are broken in three places.
I'd love to see you try to stand up.
Welcome. Rhett and Link, everybody.
Woo!
Good work.
Absolute internet legends, internet fathers. You were Smosher's father for a while.
For a little while.
Yeah.
People have started saying grandfather.
Grandfather. How do you feel about that?
Can we say like an adopted uncle?
Adopted uncle word.
Fun uncle.
But sometimes uncle, I feel like uncle has the wrong connotation.
Okay,
uncles get a bad rap.
Stepdads?
But what about a funkle?
Yeah, stepdad, funkle.
I think the funkle works.
Yeah, okay. Funkles, funkle. You know, the fun uncle.
The two funkles.
Takes you to the place that you shouldn't be. We were talking to one of our friends recently, and he was like.
We have other friends.
And each other?
He was like, my uncle was kind of young. Like when I was 12, he was in his 20s. And one day he picked me up from school and was like, I have something that I want to do for you. And it was take him to smoke weed
when he was 12.
Yeah, he was like, okay. I want you to do it for the first time with me.
Oh.
Your uncle.
Yeah,
that's a funkle.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Do you guys think you're funkles?
I'm not that kind of funkle.
No.
Okay.
You're not going to pick me up from Smosh one day and take me to smoke some weed?
No, probably not.
Nope. In your Camaro?
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Thank you for coming on here. My God, let's go through some of your stats, because these are crazy. 9 billion views on Good Mythical Morning.
It's a few.
That's just a few.
I mean, it's not as many as Smosh.
No, but close. Over a billion on Good Mythical More.
Okay.
You got 900 million on Rhett and Link.
Okay,
lagging. It's kind of crazy that it goes like the Rhett and Link channel started before the Good Mythical channel.
Like way before.
But it's only got 10% of the views. What's up?
We're trying to get some momentum.
Okay.
Have you done the video, the view per video breakdown?
Oh, is that?
When you do over 2,500 episodes of something, eventually. If you don't get the numbers, you're just, something's wrong with you. You know, we should have quit a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2,500 episodes.
Well, I don't know what it is now. We celebrated 2,500 sometime last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We only count the big round numbers.
That's important.
We're waiting for 3,000 now.
Okay. What are you going to do at 3,000?
Whatever the team tells us, that's kind of how it works.
Okay.
You know?
So at this point, you just do whatever they say?
Well, yeah. Let's be clear about this. We're Still Doing It song this year.
Yeah.
We did. We wrote that entire song.
That was a really fun song. I listened to that song.
We wrote it.
Doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still in your head.
It is. Yeah. Because I think sometimes one forgets that you guys, well, I guess not so much anymore because you're doing your own music now. You're doing the solo thing. But like sometimes one forgets that Rhett and Link did sort of begin as a musical channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact,
we were called Lonely Island.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what happened to the third guy?
He became much more successful. Then.
Okay, yeah.
Went on to make television and movies.
Well, congrats on Hot Rod. That was a fun movie.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, underrated, big time.
Definitely.
Movie.
Agreed.
Yeah, going all the way back, we were looking at your channel. We were trying to think, like, what was, like, the first breakout hit? There was one video before this video we're going to show that has millions, but it really seemed like this was your first big viral hit, and it was the Facebook song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it just called Facebook Song?
Yeah, very simple.
Nice.
It was a song about Facebook.
Okay.
That's right.
And was this before MySpace the movie?
No, this was 2007.
Okay.
So this was like a year and a half after.
Now, this song was probably written in 2005, I would think.
Really?
And then you made the video later?
Yeah. Because, as we've told our long belabored backstory on the internet a few times, but because we were doing the like Christian college ministry thing right after college, a lot of the stuff that we were making at that time was stuff that we would make for some conference where we were going to get up there and sing in front of everybody. So we wrote the Facebook song to get up in front of a bunch of college students and sing it live on stage.
Oh.
And then later we're like, oh, well, let's make that into a video.
Oh.
It was a decent bit. Like we infiltrated people's Facebook accounts and then we like showed them on the big screen and just basically make fun of people's Facebook accounts. Oh.
When it was college only.
It was college.
Yeah.
That's right.
I feel like it's kind of ahead of its time. Like integrating like online stuff into like a live bit. Like I feel like a lot of people do that now. Like live shows. But
we invented it.
You guys invented it.
2005.
So let's see where it all started back when you invented this.
Song. Okay. And feel free to tell us to pause if you want to talk about anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, pause it right now.
Pause it.
Is this real? Already.
So
is this real?
That's really him.
So here's the thing. I think a lot of people, I thought that I was really pushing this character very, very far to make it very clear that I'm playing a character.
It looks like it's just kind of like you.
A lot of people, because we've been on the internet for so long, when you look at us in the past and we look so different, people are like, oh, that's how Rhett used to do his hair and his beard?
Plus you have a beard, so it looks like you could totally... Was that a real beard?
It was a completely fake beard. It was a completely fake beard.
But now that you have this, it looks like you could have grown.
You could do the chin strap. Yeah.
It was a fake beard, and then I was like, I'm going to grease my hair up and comb it forward.
Very Amish.
And then
a mustache.
And then Link. Okay, so now move to what Link looked like.
Yeah.
And so that was your real mustache.
I think it was.
Yeah. And then you were like, I'm going to part my hair down the middle because that's crazy, right? Like we literally thought that
now
we
it just looks you just look like me. Right now.
I mean, you're kind of Gen Z-ing it here.
Actually, this would be considered cool, and I would say you look cool there.
Yeah.
Because you got the middle part.
Still wearing the same shirt and everything.
Yeah.
Look at the size of that laptop.
Yeah, is that a MacBook Pro?
It's like a 17-inch MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
So in our minds, we were playing characters, which you'll see when we show the Facebook profiles.
They're
not our names.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just can't get over how you actually just look like a normal dude right now.
Yeah, I peaked in, I guess.
We didn't have hair and makeup professionals and helping us with our looks. Me from the other guy. But when I gotta have that RhettandLink.com burn.
Yeah. With the 70s font.
We did the same thing. We had Smosh.com burned in.
Yep.
Nope.
Oddly enough, I feel like their interface hasn't changed much.
It hasn't changed a lot.
It looks almost
same color scheme. So you see Rhett Smalls and Link Lamont, right? So these were the names that we
Even more confusing because I would just think this is your name. Right. And this is you.
Yeah.
This was not strategic for our careers.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
So Rhett Smalls, the last name was...
Is it because you're so tall? So it's like, oh, you're small.
No, you just live next to a pond called Lake Small.
Okay, doxing.
Yeah, but didn't... I thought that these names came from the characters that we created in Second Life. When we thought that we were gonna do the first ever music video in Second Life back in the day.
Whoa,
and these were a couple of the last names that you could choose from. And that's why you're Link Lamont. That's my memory, but memory gets distorted when you access it, so I could be wrong.
And Link Lamont was the coolest guy in our elementary school, so I just made his first name my last name.
Wow.
And then these Facebook profiles were kind of like us launching, well, people befriended these characters,
mm-hmm.
thinking they're us, and like there was like a 5,000 person friend limit.
Oh, yeah. So you had real accounts.
These were real accounts. Mm-hmm.
And they went to 5,000 friends very, very quickly, and then we just had these stupid accounts that weren't us that had the friend limit.
Mm.
We were like, we have to use these for promotion.
I forget they had a friend limit and all these weird things, college-only friend limit.
Yeah. And Twitter account was also Link Lamont for years.
Yeah, until
for the same reason.
I feel like I remember that name, and I just assumed that was...
People thought it was my name.
I assumed that was your last name for the longest time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they assumed that you had this greasy hair personal choice.
We should just let it play and then, because it's a long song with a lot of really well-crafted jokes.
Great. Can't wait.
Check it out. It feels very Christian already. Let's see.
Let's
see how much more.
Very Christ code.
Yeah, where it goes. Right.
All of these jokes worked really well with a Christian college crowd.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Site dedicated to me with pictures of me and a list of my friends and an unofficial record of the groups that I'm in. Before the internet. Yes, we got a Celine Dion joke there. You actually had to be. It's so funny, all the pop culture references are so unnecessary. You okay?
Oh, that is heinous.
Oh no. Oh no.
Because you're distracting me from watching my
guys, we're trying to
watch. Sorry.
Look at that flesh.
We just had guys,
Ian's foot has fallen off. I'm sitting here trying to watch my video.
I know. I was jamming out. Sorry. I got excited. My leg detached. Oh, fudge.
Ian.
Your ankle
stop
in the pool.
Fooling around. We're trying to watch cinematic history.
Okay, we'll just leave it there.
I'll put it on ice.
We'll get it later.
Yeah, we'll just put it on ice. We'll stitch it back together later. All right, sorry.
Okay, Link is giving me real creepy vibes now.
That's my wife.
Oh, that's Christy.
Oh, that's your wife?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was not her name, though.
Oh. Hey, it says that Link's
status has changed. He's playing the recorder. Oh, that's nice. Oh, hey, that's clever. Your status has changed. Because you used to have to put your status.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I really played this recorder.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah, that's me playing that,
actually. Fire.
I'm really good at the recorder.
Yeah, I can tell.
Still.
Yeah.
Did you
like
learn
Andre 3000.
That's my wife.
You're the Andre 3000 of recorders?
Yeah.
I forgot you could literally put, could you actually put We Hooked Up?
Yes.
Yeah.
We Hooked Up.
That was a status that you could choose for your relationship with someone.
It was
We Hooked
college.
Up.
Right. I mean,
can you imagine going to someone's page and just be like, okay, they hooked up, they hooked up.
Right.
Does that not surprise you? I mean, Facebook was originally created to like rank women. In
okay, you're right.
Yeah, by the
those
faces.
Are the remnants there of that. Or did you just think they looked cute in their picture on that film, Facebook? That was very MySpacey.
Yeah, it was.
My Facebook account Firefox.
Firefox, because that was the cool browser at that time.
Now, this is the streets of Lillington, North Carolina.
Okay, that's also looking creepy. That's looking creepy as well.
Yeah.
Is that a real person?
Yep, see, there you go. You get
oh, nice. Found
some real man on the street shots.
Yep.
See, people didn't realize I was playing a character here? I'm insulted by that.
It really feels like you're just playing yourselves.
I still have that coat in the back of my car right now.
Because I don't have the reference of what you were actually like at the time, it's really reeky.
You guys are good.
So hold
that
up.
Is really good.
It holds up.
Yeah, so all that was, here we go. Brighton Rhett Smalls on LinkedIn. See, we wanted you to
friend. And then you got 5,000 friend requests immediately.
Yes.
This is definitely this is definitely a mugshot.
That's
those are definitely mugshots.
Yeah, this looks like
certain crimes we're not going to joke about on,
right.
on
yeah,
we can't
right.
say it
on the internet.
Funkle crimes, they call them.
Funkle
crimes. Definitely Funkle crimes for sure. No, maybe not fun uncle crimes. Yeah, yeah, those are uncle crimes.
Yeah, bad uncle.
Anyway,
why do you think that went so viral? Was it just the
timing? Facebook released the ability to post videos on their wall. Like, you remember, there was a wall where you could, like, put anything on anybody else's.
And they allowed the embeds of YouTube videos, and it would count the views.
Oh,
and
that's, they used to.
They didn't, and then they did, like, and then if
that's what
that
caused
first month.
The numbers were going, like, crazy compared to anything that we had ever seen.
Interesting.
So was that video on YouTube climbing the ranks on YouTube as well? Because back then, obviously, there was no algorithm, so it was like you'd see what was the most viewed of the day, of the week, of the month. Mm-hmm.
But it was slow because it was happening. The cycle is so short now of virality, right? It's like, if it doesn't pop in the first 24 hours, it's not going to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember specifically the timeline, but it was definitely like a matter of months where we were like, man, this thing's still really getting a lot of views. Like, you know, it was boosting our channel.
Yeah.
That was kind of the crazy thing about, I feel like back in the day, like if you had something that was like popping off, it really did like elevate the rest of the channel. People would go watch that video because there wasn't a lot of great content on YouTube at that time. People would be like, okay, this is like a quality creator. I'm going to then take the time to go through their entire library.
Yep.
Yeah. It was rare to find a content creator and not like a person that just uploaded a random video that went viral.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, there's more of this. They are producing more stuff.
Yeah.
You could literally create a fan out of a video.
Yeah. Just one video, you can get a fan for your entire channel.
Yeah. Right.
That's so cool.
Well, that video currently has 17 million views. This video blew up, and you were contacted from marketing agencies and started essentially making your own brand deals from this point?
Yeah. There was one marketing agency that, like, their head of creative was, like, a fan of this and then started pitching us for stuff. And it happened at just the right time where we got a deal with Alka-Seltzer.
What?
Alka-Seltzer?
They wanted us, The agency pitched us to like do this like 21 video series where it was like road trip based. They wanted the Sklar brothers to do it, but then when they passed, they were like, let's get these guys from the internet who they sold it completely on the Facebook song. And that paycheck happened. That was one of those moments where it was like, we can continue to do this because of this job that we now have.
Anthony and I were having a fight over which should be the first video we show everybody.
Yeah,
okay.
Very violent. Because he remembered the one with the pillows that you guys
did. I feel like the
pillows.
That's a lot later.
I know, but
that's what I said.
I feel like that was a turning point, though.
Well, when you say a lot later, the way that it was a lot later, like in the scheme of our career, but it was probably only 2 to 3 years later in actuality. But there was so much happening between 07 to 10. Like those 3 years were probably the most pivotal in an pre-GMM of us sort of becoming full-time creators and getting into a place where we actually were making consistent videos that were getting a lot of traffic.
Yeah, I feel like it was within that time frame that YouTube was finally considered an actual place to produce stuff, because people started making money on there and they started running production studios, kind of.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But you made the right choice. This is the one that, like, our entire career.
You say I made the right choice.
Ian's made the right choice
for this one.
You know what?
He was dead set on the pillow. Because the pillow video is awesome.
Pillows.
Yeah, I just wanted to watch the pillow video.
But that was more like, oh, they can continue to do sponsor videos that people want to watch.
Yeah.
Because I
that was after T-shirt War, too. So it was like, this T-shirt War was a big milestone.
Because,
and then the pillows, the reverse pillows.
The T-shirt War, because Ray William Johnson featured it on.
That's right.
Ah.
So It was funny. It was, you know, like...
As a favor to Joe Pena, honestly.
Yeah,
because... We didn't know.
Yeah, because he knew Joe, and Joe directed that video and helped us edit. But that was a time where, you know, like, when you talk about the Tonight Show back in the day, in the 80s, 90s, maybe a little bit, but, like, if you were a stand-up and you went on the Tonight Show, that was it. You made your career.
Yeah.
These were the days where, like, you get on Equals 3.
Yeah.
That might be the thing.
But he typically just roasted people who really weren't creators. So it was weird that I think he actually felt weird about it, but he wanted to do it. So he was like, I'm going to roast these guys.
Soft
but
because a lot of the stuff was like, look at these dumb idiots.
Right, right.
Most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the pillow video, which we didn't show, was so interesting to me because it blew up so big and it was sponsored.
Yeah.
That was what was surprising because at that time, people were not accepting of sponsored videos.
True.
You know, now it's accepted. Everyone has a sponsor in the middle of their video, but it was like a whole video dedicated to this brand, and it was cool.
You didn't find out until the end, though.
Yeah, people didn't know, and that's the thing. Is back then, you kind of had to. Well, you didn't have to disclaim it right at the
top. You didn't have to.
There was no disclaimer.
Right.
Yeah. That helped a lot. FCC guideline.
We always had that little call, the CTA, at the end of the video.
Yeah.
So, right.
Yeah. We did that. That was our bread and butter for like that 3-4 year period. That was where all the income was coming from, those big one-time videos.
And I feel like some of those brand deals, like in the early days, were so random. Like you said, like Alka-Seltzer and
like a pillow company.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, our first, do you remember our first?
Smoothie King. Which is like a regional smoothie chain, like in the South and other areas, but like we've never heard of Smoothie King.
Yeah.
And it was like, they paid us like $500 to like do this contest.
And we're like, we could actually make money doing this.
Yeah. And it was just like.
Contest.
Yeah.
Yeah. They wanted you to promote their user generated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Contest.
It was. There's always
a lot of
contest. Let's go on to your next.
Yeah.
I feel like this is pivotal in a different sense. This is your Chuck Testa commercial.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's so wild because, I mean, it has 19 million views. It blew up. It was super viral. You uploaded it in 2011. But you uploaded this to Chuck Testa's page, not even your guys' page.
Yeah.
And it blew up.
Yeah.
I feel like, and also, like, I want to point out, like, you guys created a meme. Like, I don't know if you knew that this was going to become a meme, but I guess let's just watch it. Some people.
Yeah, this one's pretty short, so we can watch it and then.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, let's watch it first.
You probably thought this deer was alive, and this coyote was alive, and this pheasant was alive. Nope. They're not. They're dead. They've been taxidermized by Chuck Testa, Ojai Valley Taxidermy. I specialize in the most lifelike dead animals anywhere. Period.
Look at that antelope driving a car.
Yep.
No, just Chuck Testa.
Oh no, there's a bear in my bed.
Nope. Chuck Testa.
Hold on a second. There's a leopard feeding on an impala out on my deck.
No, it's just Chuck Testa with another realistic move. Shipped to me from anywhere. Call Chuck Testa.
Oh my God, shipped to him.
Like dead animals around, period.
Did that rhino just order a drink?
No.
Chuck Testa does not taxidermize pets.
Okay. He does not taxidermize pets. Yep. He wanted us to put that in there.
Only game.
Only game. Because he said that you never make the pet owner happy.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, this doesn't look like them.
It's like getting a portrait of your child.
Yeah, with black, soulless eyes.
It never works. Everyone's disappointed. Okay, I'm going to tell you the super speed story of how we got to this point, okay? Yeah. Because it goes back to a sponsor. One night, Link and I were doing a live stream back in Lillington, North Carolina, in our basement studio. And there was just a fan watching, and he started messaging us, and he was like, guys, I want to talk to you on the phone. We were like, okay. And then he was like, I want to sponsor the song that you're making right now, because we were doing a song about the 2008 financial crisis, right? And we were writing it live.
Banger.
Okay. And he ran a company called Microbuilt, which basically was sort of back-end administrative services for small businesses, right? And he was like, I want to sponsor this. I'm going to pay you guys $5,000, which was by far the most money that we had seen for a video, right?
Yeah, because we muted the live stream and
got on the phone with him. Oh. So he sponsors that video, and then he's like, I love what you guys do. What else can we do together? And then
we said he told us nothing.
He told us what he did. He was like, I provide these services for these small businesses. So we came up with an idea. We said, what if we made local commercials for some of your actual real businesses and real clients? And that was when the Red House and the Cuban gynecologist and the Coleman Liquidation, the trailer salesman down in Alabama, all those commercials, Butt Drugs.
I love Butt Drugs.
A lot of those that went viral before Chuck Testa was because of that sponsor that called us at the time. And then when those commercials started going viral, that was when, you know, people out here in California started reaching out and said, we want to make a TV show around you guys making commercials. That led to Commercial Kings on IFC. That's why we moved out here, and that's where Chuck Testa came.
Damn, yeah. Everything culminated.
And we were trying to think, did you guys get the news that you got the show?
We were with you guys.
We were on some weird trip in Miami.
We were in Miami.
Yes.
You were in the Fontainebleau.
Yeah.
That's right.
Lobby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. That's when we got the call that it got picked up from the pilot. Mm-hmm.
Chrissy and Jesse were with us.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's where we met your wives.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was
crazy. I was getting
that 13
who
years
else was
ago?
There that night?
Some people that are canceled.
Not all of them were.
Every time you start thinking about it, you're like, okay, oh,
and Justine,
canceled.
I bet.
Yeah, and Justine
was there as well.
Yeah, I was getting zooted off Long Island iced teas.
I had four or five Long Island iced teas.
That was probably one of the drunkest nights of my life.
That was the worst night of my life.
You're celebrating our show getting picked up.
Yeah, I was so happy for you.
Yeah. I think we got dinner together.
Yeah.
And
I barely remember it.
I think I ordered foie gras because I was like, look, I know it's fucked up, but I don't think it's legal in California.
Right, we got to get it while we can get it.
Got to get it while I can get it.
Okay.
So I had to know.
I don't remember.
I didn't order it after that point. I've only had foie gras once, okay? Don't come at me.
So,
okay.
All right, so let me tell you about Chuck, though.
Yeah.
So the way that Commercial Kings worked, they hired a casting agency to find potential businesses for us to make commercials for. Mm. And we said what kind of areas.
Yeah,
we like the idea of a taxidermist. And then they got Chuck to send in like a self-tape, like his son, the guy who is pointing at the Impala. He made the video of Chuck.
Just sitting there working with an animal.
So we just heard his like deadpan delivery and his kind of accent. I don't know. Is that an Ojai Valley accent? And he never said nope. But then after we watched, we were like, yes, we're going to do something with this guy. He seems like he'd be fun to play around with. And
when we showed up, we would show up with a very loose concept for what we wanted the commercial to be. And we knew that we liked this idea of the most lifelike dead animals around. And we liked the idea of him being like, oh, let's show this dead animal acting like it's alive. And then he's like, nope. And so
we wrote nope. And
we had
heard
in our minds.
Him in our head saying nope. Chuck Testa.
Nice.
But then every time he said it, he was like, nope, Chuck Testa. He was like, we're like, that's not right.
I guess, no.
We need to hear you saying it like we hear you saying it.
Yeah.
In our minds,
did
right?
Did you get him there?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nope, yes, he does.
Nope,
he does
say, nope,
Chuck Testa.
And him like really trying really hard to say it is actually what contributes to
right.
this extra level of Uncanny Valley offense that really
I guess the entire video is that Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
And then the Nope Chuck Testa, it went viral. Like just that clip alone became a meme.
It became a meme. It was funny because we've got a close friend now who worked in marketing 10 years ago, like when this was happening. And, well, one day it hit him after he had known us for 2 years that we had made this commercial.
Oh,
he was my world has been turned upside down because this is the thing that we used as an example of, like, viral marketing back in the day. And
yeah, for
our
sure.
family and our friends were all, anytime somebody said, nope, they said, or nope, they would just say Chuck Testa after it. And he says, I can't believe that you guys are the ones that created it. Even though we are in the commercial, at the very end at the bar.
Yeah.
Just to be, okay, we are in it, but
you're
not looking for us, you can't see us.
Right.
A couple other things I remember about it. The guy who was like, oh no, there's an Impala out on my deck. And like, he very emphatically says deck.
Yeah.
Because he kept saying it. It sounded like he was saying, out of my dick.
Yeah.
And again and again. Some of the most fun we've ever had is just feeding people lines.
Yeah.
Like when we were making all these commercials and just kind of, because we're not performing, we're directing, it was just like, it was a different creative exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can we thread this needle of, are we making fun of you or are we having fun with you?
Yes.
And
we get to try to be funny without looking like we're trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of the reasons a lot of people don't like us. A lot of comedians or us is that it's like, oh, you guys obviously think you're funny and you're trying to be funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when it just looks like, oh, this is just an accident and that's my type of humor is just seeing something accidentally funny,
mm-hmm.
but yet it was still engineered. It's like, that's our favorite kind of thing.
Yeah, and directing these non-actors to say these lines. Yeah. Like, it's always gonna be a little bit funky.
Yeah, because I mean, like, Anthony and I have very similar experience back when we were shooting things in Sacramento, we would get people that, you know, actors, we would call them Sactors, because it's Sacramento, Sacramento actors. And like, some were good, there were some that were like really Absolutely. Surprisingly good. And then there's others where it's like, okay, like this is like a hobby, it's something you wanna try. And yeah, I felt the same way when you're saying like, trying to get him to say it a certain way. And it's like, yeah, typically with actors, like you're not supposed to tell them exactly how to say something.
Right.
But
with Sactors, you do.
Yes.
Sometimes.
And you're like, okay, let's try that again. And maybe like ramp up the energy or maybe say it exactly like we're saying it.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Maybe just move your lips and I will say it in post.
Actually,
We
actually
There's
did
been
do
voiceover.
That.
Oh, yeah.
I voiced over a woman one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think, and then we reshot one scene. Either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
But you guys were the first examples that I was seeing of people consistently making viral sponsored pieces. Like, yep. I mean these videos, and then, I mean, you have the entire show.
Every commercial we made before the television show was sponsored by Microbuilt, that guy.
That's crazy.
And and so we created a website, ilovelocalcommercials.com, that then had his branding all over it.
Huh.
So it was more of like, go to this landing page so that you can watch the behind the scenes videos and see all of his branding.
And then like nominate your favorite local business for a free commercial.
Which was really cool. The business got the free commercial.
They got a free commercial. And they could do whatever they wanted to with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to keep the spirit of that alive. And that's why for the TV show, this commercial ends up being on Chuck Testa's channel.
Because we're
like, hey, it's your commercial to do what you want to with.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just was like, well, I guess I'll put it on YouTube.
Do you know how any of those affected these businesses?
He started selling a lot of T-shirts.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
People usually would sell T-shirts because, you know, a lot of people wouldn't either buy a couch or, like, send their tiger in to be taxidermized, you know? So it's like T-shirts and mugs and then, like, showing up at conventions and stuff. And it was mostly for the fun of it.
That's awesome.
And then we are just moving down the timeline. It's a Good Mythical Morning.
Yes.
Which the channel already existed, but you were putting it somewhere other than your Rhett and Link channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I first saw you doing that, I was like, they're crazy. Why would you put it on a different channel? You already have a successful channel. And I also thought it was crazy because right at the top, you were committing to, was it 5 a week at that time?
Yeah.
5 episodes a week. And I had never seen anyone do a consistent show like that.
Yeah,
5 a week.
Am I remembering this right? Like, this was kind of like a make it or break it kind of like moment where you're like, we're going to go for this. And if this fails, we'll just like go back home.
Yeah.
Or am I making that up in my head?
We moved to LA to make Commercial Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same time that Chuck Testa was going huge, IFC was deciding to not order a second season.
Cool.
So.
Got it.
Smart,
okay.
Smart. Love that.
So then we were like left, you know, holding the bag full of dwindling money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We had moved our families out and we didn't want to move back. And that's when we set up the card table in Rhett's converted garage behind his house, decided that we were going to start doing 5 videos a day on a second channel while we still tried to get, like, reacquire momentum with sponsored music videos on our main channel.
The precursor idea to that, which was only done because of Commercial Kings, was what we did, the last thing we ever really made in North Carolina, which was Good Morning Chia Lincoln, which was just like a month's worth of daily us sitting at the card table and kind of talking about whatever we want to talk about for 10 minutes. We did that because we were like, let's experiment with a format that is low lift, easier to do, and is all about fan connection. Maybe there's something super easy that we can do, just like talk to each other every day, that even if this show pops off, we'll have this thing in our back pocket that we can turn to still maintain a fan base, because we didn't want to lose the YouTube fan base, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so then when the show didn't get picked up, we were like, well, we could just kind of go back to doing that daily show, but let's like make it more of a thing. And that's what Good Mythical Morning became.
Yeah. Dude. Oh man, it's just great.
Smart. Huh? I said that's smart.
Yeah, it's crazy that you took that huge risk, and not only was it successful, it became your most successful thing that I would say you've maybe ever done.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So let's watch the first episode you ever made.
Oh, this is hard, but I've watched it a number of times.
I'm willing to bet that my morning routine is unlike anyone else's on Earth.
Hi, I'm Specialist
Hope. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of clips you cut to, huh?
Let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah. So that was like the fan involvement.
The fan.
Yeah.
Right, you guys got a cool like intro already. Brought to you by Aura, bro.
Yes. The first episode was already sponsored. Did they sponsor just the first episode or multiple?
So we were like, let's get a sponsor for the first episode for whatever price they're willing to pay, which was $300.
Okay.
Because it wasn't about $300, it was about precedent. And it was about wanting the audience to understand that this is going to be sponsored a lot of the times, and we want you to be okay with that, because we anticipate this actually being the business model in the future.
Yeah. I will say, I still do have my Aura brush.
Yeah, should get a new one.
Should I? Is it still around?
Yeah, in fact, I just replaced mine.
Okay.
That I've had for years. You're supposed to do it like every like 6 months or so.
Did you have to buy that with $300?
Probably.
You had to buy it yourself? Let's watch it.
Episode of Good Mythical Morning is brought to you by Aura.
There we go.
Yep. You don't know if your breath stinks. It probably does. And it probably comes from a dirty tongue, because 90% of all bad breath comes from a dirty tongue.
Look at that.
Is that true?
Nice. According to Aura Brush.
Yourself one Aura Holster. Look at that. Call to action.
You know,
yep.
This is it, Link.
And was this mic ever actually truly recorded?
It's the only one that's on.
Okay.
So that kind of threw me right from the beginning. Because this is the beginning. This is the beginning of something beautiful, hopefully something special.
Just pause there. That's crazy to say, right?
Well, we like to speak things into existence.
We didn't know what manifesting was, but we were really good at it.
Yeah, you did.
Okay. So, you know, you're shaping, you're just like, all right, you're telling the audience what you want them to think.
Yeah.
And you got kind of a set going on here. You got the Lionel Richie doing the pose back there, which is still kind of a motif that you guys have carried through.
Yeah.
And those are our real desks. That's my real coffee mug. Silver thing. Mm-hmm. Like, and we would work facing each other, so.
And the guitar that is still on the set of GMM today, that gold.
Oh, yeah.
And then what are these posters back there? What's that?
That's a blown up version of like the last CD of music we released.
Oh.
So, like all of the songs up to that point that we had put on the internet, we made a CD.
Got it.
All right.
In your life, you know, whenever I'm beginning something new.
And you're talking about this show, right? I just want to clarify.
Yeah, the show.
You're talking about the show?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Like our relationship?
I didn't know if you were about to blindside me with something.
You've been my best friend since 1984. I didn't think I had to define that.
See, this is it, Link. Get some of the lore in there.
Yeah.
Clarify that we've been best friends forever.
When that happens.
Whenever I'm starting something new, I usually wear a V-neck on that day.
With a hoodie over it.
Like, it centers me emotionally.
We weren't that funny, or funny at all, which was like, I think, very approachable. Oh, those guys aren't funny. I can hang out with them.
It's not.
It was a choice, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not that you're not funny. I think like what you guys are doing here is that, like you said earlier, I don't feel like you're trying to be funny.
Yeah, it feels like you're
like
vibing.
It's very, it's already like very casual, which like doesn't put me off, you know?
Yeah, I think you were establishing expectations for the show, too. Like, it's a very casual hangout. It's going to be sponsored. It's going to be something really big. Like,
and
set it all up.
No edits.
Oh.
That's the one thing that...
This is a one take?
It's one
take. We were determined. It's like, okay, we don't want to have to edit it if we're doing it every day.
Yeah.
And we wanted to do an anti-vlog thing. Yeah, we didn't realize how much it was like the laid back nature. Like we're Southern. We talk slowly. Mm. We think
slowly.
You know, so it's like, we got to set ourselves up for success. If it's going to work, it's got to work on our terms.
Right.
I think that's so smart. And I think if you're to look at all the other content that was going out at this time, because this was 2012,
yep.
Was it? All the other content, including ours, is just so loud.
It's yeah. very like fast.
A lot of screaming at the camera, a lot of cuts, a lot
and
of
it was
jump
like
cuts.
3 to 10 minutes at most, yeah. but yeah. usually like around three minutes.
Right.
And you guys kind of did like, yeah, like you said, like kind of the anti-vlog kind of approach, which I think has aged this so much better. Because I'm thinking right now, I'm kind of like self-analyzing the kind of content that you know, we would do at this time, the more vloggy type stuff. And I think if we were to watch that, that would be
a little
painful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were doing, if we needed to communicate something to like the main channel audience back in the day, mm-hmm. we did it. It was a totally different style. Like cut. And yeah. like you're in the foreground, then I'm in the foreground and back and forth. Because yeah. we were like, when we talk to this audience, it's like this, but when we talk to this audience, it's like this. You know, it's like these calculated yeah. decisions that you just end up getting lucky that it works.
Well, that's that huge risk is where you're presenting yourselves exactly as like you would be most comfortable to present like this forever, you know? And you establish that. And you're like, if people don't like it, they're not gonna watch it. It's like it's that slow burn, you know, manifesting it into existence. You're like, here's the audience I want, and they will come if they come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joined us. Thanks for watching. We want this to be something, like Rhett said, special. We want it to be mythical. We want this to be part of your daily routine. We want it to be part of your morning routine. Or, you know, we already recognize that some people are going to be watching this thing, perhaps you, at a time that is not actually in the morning, but it's always a mythical morning.
So. Wow, getting that branding in.
you really planned this out, though, to the point where you're like, here's what it's about, here's what we want.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Yeah. Show, that's when your mythical morning happens.
You know, we
like
had
a new beginning.
We had a show last year called Good Morning Chile.
It does have some youth pastor energy, though.
That's okay.
In particular, we're not going to be talking about.
Yeah, we had been like basically as a career, we had been talking like. Getting up in front of students and like talking to them about things and explaining strategy and stuff like that.
So that's the demeanor that you're.
And so, yeah,
I think that's in here.
We ended up unintentionally commandeering that same mode to talk to people on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it works.
And I think to like just very like directly define what the show is going to be and set expectations, saying we're not going to be talking about like pop culture and stuff. You can get that from.
Yeah.
From Sexy Phil.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. No.
I don't know. He might have rebranded as Philip DeFranco.
Still Sexy Phil.
Oh, he was definitely Sexy Phil at that.
Yeah.
He was still Sexy Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long time. But yeah, this I remember watching this episode and just being like, what are they doing? This is so weird. So this was considered weird at the time because
right. Yeah. Yeah.
It was so different. Like no cuts. Just
we were weird,
talking.
Man. We were weirder than we realized.
But now looking back, this seems normal compared to the type of stuff that was being released at the time on YouTube.
Did you think that we were weird back then? It's like whenever we would interact, it was like I think there was always this like a little brow crinkle, right?
Because I think it was like I was like. They have something else going on. I don't understand. Like they're thinking like on a different level. It felt like,
huh?
That's what I felt.
I don't know. I think
there was the clean cut part of it too, though. There was like these guys are because we were reasonably devout.
Yeah, at the time
I didn't get that vibe.
Very back then. Okay.
I think the one thing that stood out for me at this point, I was like, damn, they already got wives and like hella kids. That's the only thing that stood out for me. Nothing else really.
Yeah.
No other thoughts.
Yeah, we were different.
Yeah, because we were early 30s already.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
Like 32.
I was like, how do they juggle having a whole family situation going on and then still creating shows and series and
stuff? And that was another reason that it was formatted like this too, because it was like, okay. If we start, we didn't want to do the thing where it was like all about our families. We didn't want to do that. Our wives would not have wanted to do that.
You don't want to be family vloggers?
But also like the edits, you know, the amount of editing, that's your whole life. You're just filming all the time and then you're editing all the time. Mm-hmm. We were like, we want to do other things. We want to make content that's not this. What's the minimum amount of time that you can invest into content for the maximum return? It really was like an engineering
No, that's problem. So smart. True. A lot of people don't approach things with that. Or back then, people did not approach new shows in that way, where they like fully plan out, okay, what is going to take my time? Where do I want my time? This almost felt like a live performance because it was all one take.
Yeah.
It was like you had to choreograph a lot. You had to do a lot of planning at the top, so it was easier. It was like instead of spending the time editing it, you were planning it beforehand.
We didn't plan as much as we should have.
And a lot of it was but just because of our, you know, long-term friendship, kind of knowing where you're going with something and just being able to interplay. A lot of it was just kind of like in our heads. But you are looking at something like right now as we're paused here. I wonder if there's like a sheet down there that's got a little run of show.
It says mention Mythical five times.
We would do that from time to time.
Yeah.
I could see that for the first episode. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
First rule of Good Mythical Morning. I just came up with it.
I was hoping there wouldn't be any rules.
Okay. No rules. No rules, except we can't talk about Justin Bieber. This is a bright spot in your day. You know, we had people write in about Good Morning Chiyolink, and they said, you know, I watch it every morning when I'm eating breakfast. I watch it when I get home from school. I watch it right before I go to bed. I'm a security guard. This is how security guards talk.
Right.
I'm a security guard,
and they stand like this.
Whatever. Have you ever noticed when
they're securing things.
When security guards speak, they put their fists on their hips.
I'm securing my belt to my hands.
I'm a security guard, and I watch Good Mythical Morning while I'm securing this building here. See, you can watch it anywhere.
Based on a true story.
Always a Mythical Morning, wherever it is for you. Just make it a part of your day.
We'll release it 6 a.m. Eastern time every weekday morning. Oof,
that's crazy.
You can count on it.
Wait, what was your schedule? Did you plan that schedule for that week, and what was that like? Did you have a plan for how you would manage to shoot that much content and release it at 3 a.m.?
3 a.m.
over on the West Coast.
Yeah, the idea of the 6 a.m. Eastern was, okay, it's a morning show. Let's center it around the East Coast because that's where that's how they do TV, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And there was a scheduling feature that had been introduced at some point on YouTube now.
Yeah, that was new.
To like get up and do it. But at that time, we were pretty much shooting almost every day, and it was kind of the first thing that we would do. Like, this was in my backyard. This is a converted garage that was in my backyard. Mm-hmm. So like Link would drive over, and then we would sit down, and we would make the show, and then we would go on about our day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had one guy working for us who would kind of take it, edit it, and then prepare it for upload the next day.
Okay, so you guys are kind of going on a day-by-day kind of thing. You didn't batch shoot.
And then you evolved to batch shooting later.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You can count on us, people. We want to be here for you, but we need you to also be here for us. We are also counting on you. There's a reciprocation.
You are fully committing to that schedule.
We need you, baby.
That is a big commitment.
That's another rule. Rule number two. We don't have a word of the day. That's a stupid rule.
Yep, see, backed off.
It's definitely not Justin Bieber. Well, let's think about it. Maybe that could happen. I will say, if we could get Justin Bieber to be a guest on this show, I will begin to talk about it.
Yeah. As it happened.
You tried to manifest that as well.
I violated my own rule twice.
Right, right. That's not good.
I won't say it again.
We're several minutes in and we're still just talking about the show.
Yeah.
Good Mythical Morning, the show that we are now doing as part of your daily routine, we thought maybe a good topic for first conversation would be morning routines.
Everybody's got one, right, Link?
I certainly do. I'm a big fan of routines.
Could have used a cut there.
Right. I thought it worked.
Maybe a title.
So was this one take, or did you guys do multiple takes?
One take.
First take.
Just hit record and just...
I would say in the history of the show, when we were doing it this way, when it was one camera, 95%+ of the time, it was the first take. There were some times when we would be like halfway in and like, there was some tension. somebody did something that was really stupid, or the
between
conversation went to a different place where we didn't want it to. And we'd be like, whoa. But you were always, when you started thinking it, you were like,
yeah, it gets too much to consider.
No, don't stop. You don't have to start this over because there was some good stuff that happened.
It would always be Rhett, though, because
that would stop it?
Yes. It would be like 6 minutes in, and then I would look over at Rhett, and he'd be looking at me like,
why did you say that?
This is not what we said we were going to talk about. So he'd be like, sometimes he'd just be like, We got to stop. And that is tough to recover from.
Did you need
from.
To take yeah. a break?
Like, it's tough to recover from when it's like, what are you doing? This is not what we discussed. And then, so let's just start over. And it's like,
you're like, I was doing a bit.
It's like, we did not want to start over. And so sometimes we would just be like, let's just go get lunch.
Yeah, you'd have to take a break.
And then we would come back.
Yeah.
Step away from it. Yeah, cool off. But you guys were mostly committed to this idea of doing no cuts then.
Yeah.
Because like,
oh yeah.
See, that's wild.
Yeah,
because like, you could have just cut and nobody would have said anything.
You could have also cut to a full screen graphic for the moment that you decided it went off rails.
Right.
And I think
there might have been a little
stuff
bit of that
started happening from time to time. But yeah, there was this sort of like nonsensical spiritual commitment to not cutting.
Right.
You had principles.
Yeah.
We have to appreciate that.
We decided we would never cut.
Yeah, we can't go back on
that
now.
We have to go to lunch.
It's a slippery slope when you start cutting because then you're editing in your mind.
That's actually true, too.
And you're not in the moment anymore. And I think that we were forcing ourselves to just go through with
it. It's like operating without a net. It's like this idea.
So it's very honest.
You cannot.
Yeah.
The awkward pauses. Oh, these guys are awkward at certain moments, and I'm still here for it.
There is a connection that you feel when you see every moment, you know?
And there's just more stakes, I guess, which maybe keeps you on your toes a little bit more.
If
you're thinking, like, in this, I could be like, oh, we can cut this.
Right.
Man of principle. I like to get up. I like to have coffee. Ooh. I'm not going to apologize.
And no music or anything.
No.
Don't berate me.
Yeah.
For liking coffee, you know.
I think it's a great thing.
It's not an addiction. I don't have to have it. I really want to have it.
Well, you're not being defensive.
But I don't have to have it.
Right.
Come on, just
back off, people.
Just give me a break, people. So what if I set my coffee maker to brew the coffee 30 minutes before I get up so it'll be at the optimal brew temperature when I roll out of bed?
Now that's going too far.
Well,
that's...
So I roll out of bed, I get my coffee, I drink my coffee,
yep.
And then my mind, as the coffee goes down into my entrails, it's as if life wells up from within the entrails.
So coffee is a big part of your morning routine, is that what you're saying?
And my entrails.
Okay.
Waking them up.
What else happens?
Then I go to the bathroom, and I turn on the hot water.
Okay. You mean you don't go to the bathroom, you go to the bathroom. You enter the bathroom.
I enter the room.
I drink coffee.
See, it's those fun moments, though, that I think is what makes this so special, is you could just feel that wasn't something that you had rehearsed.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
It's essentially a podcast, right?
Yeah.
No, it absolutely is.
It's like a video podcast video podcasts.
That's true. Podcasts were just audio then.
Because
you can have video, but people didn't really do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you say this feels familiar now. It's because this is half of TikTok at this point is a clip from a podcast of people just talking to each other like this.
Yeah.
Right?
And even being in this setting and you sharing this really natural moment here, I feel like as common as it is now, back then, it wasn't as common to see two people just having a genuine moment. It was rehearsed. Yeah. It was camera in your face. It was, everything was so over the top. So to see this, I think, was probably refreshing for a lot of people.
And this was the thing that was the only thing that was, it was a lot of stuff was calculated, but a lot of the stuff that really worked wasn't calculated. So that people feeling like they were hanging out with us in real time, again, the calculation of that was we want to do this in as easy a way as possible. We don't want to edit. We think we can carry on this conversation. We want it to be about this long because that's about how long it takes to tell a story like this or whatever. But it was that vibe of it feeling like comfort content is what people would call it now.
Mm-hmm.
No one really, we didn't understand that.
No.
Again, it was because of the content, but the length that ended up working because a couple of years into the show, YouTube makes this wholesale change to the algorithm where they're rewarding watch time. And so then we're just like, oh, right place, right time. Again, that was the biggest impact of these decisions ended up being for other reasons than we ever intended.
Yeah, because it was about a year later they introduced the algorithm and it was really heavily leaning toward promoting longer content.
Yeah.
Was that when they introduced the ability to add more, insert more ads, more mid-rolls? Because I think at this time you uploaded this, it was just one ad at the top.
That sounds right.
I think mid-rolls were a little bit behind that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But probably 2 years in is when there was that big change to watch time that I remember. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's when all of a sudden the view count and the subscriber count just started. Mm-hmm. We were like, uh-oh, what's happening here? Like, this is 2016. It was bigger than anything on the original channel.
Yeah. You had already committed to doing so many episodes that by the time that happened, it was right place, right time. But also you had put in the experience that the work in formulating a well-crafted show. So it was like everything lined up.
Right.
Boom.
I relieve myself.
No, I go to the kitchen. I go to the room in my house that is the bathroom.
To the facility.
And I turn on the hot water. I turn it on all the way hot.
You were about to say something and you didn't, right?
The lay? The loo. That's what the loo.
I go to the loo.
Go to the loo.
Turn the water all the way to hot because don't you know how it is? The water will come out and it'll be cold for a long time?
Yeah, that sucks.
But what I do is I turn on the water all the way to hot, which makes it get hot the quickest amount possible. It doesn't dilute any lukewarm water with totally cold water. Wow. And then I brush my teeth.
Uh-huh. With hot water?
No, with cold water from the sink.
But you're letting it get warm.
But I turn the hot water on in the tub. That's what I forgot to tell you.
The tub.
I turn the hot water on in the tub.
The shower?
It was a tub.
Yes, write this down. Then in the sink, I turn on the cold water so as not to divert any hot water from the tub where I'm going to use it in a moment. While that water is getting hot,
is that how it
works?
Brushing
my teeth with cold water. And the amount of time it takes for me to brush my teeth is the amount of time it takes for the water to get to the optimal temperature.
You still do this?
For me to then bathe.
Nope. Or at least I'm rich now.
Water's hot immediately.
Tankless water heater.
Preheat. You preheat your shower water in the coffee pot.
It's a disorder, not an asset.
It's called being thoughtful and being principled.
Let me tell you about my morning routine.
I didn't even finish. Let me say this, Brett. Then I take a bath, while I take a shower, or I just take a head shower, depending on if I'm going to shave.
Head shower.
I just put my head under the spigot, and I don't wash the rest of my body.
I'm going to call a professional about this.
Every other day I shower. And every other day I shave. I can't do both because I don't have enough time. My time is too valuable.
You know what? Wow. Write the rest of what you do in the description. I didn't do the same thing. That was you saying it's going too long.
Right.
Yeah. Take advantage of
that. That was your edit.
You just got edited for time.
Stop the story. I knew that you wouldn't have thought about it much. But
it's funny because this feels more like Rhett and Link now than the whole beginning.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what happened this morning.
Because
we're mad at each other.
That's number one thing. And this morning when I woke up, I was dreaming that I was a tambourine player.
Yeah, this feels like Good Mythical Morning now.
Do you have an afro?
The way you're talking.
I was the only white person in the band, and they were all waiting for me to score.
Wow. Okay, interesting.
Easy to do with a tambourine.
They were like the white
tambourine.
Yeah,
right?
They were like the white dude is gonna. He's gonna get off. I know it's gonna happen.
He's gonna get off.
The next thing I do is. It's never the same. But this morning it was, shower. Eat. Then I realized I hadn't brushed my teeth. Sometimes I brush my teeth before I eat. Sometimes I brush my teeth after I eat.
So every day you have to analyze whether you missed something.
Like a checklist. And then I came out here to the studio and you showed up.
I pity you, man.
You know what?
Except for the dream.
I think we learned something here. In neither of their routines do they ever actually go to the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
So
they do that in the afternoon.
Yeah. So you just hold it.
you were actually listening to that.
Yeah. I'm trying to learn something.
I'm just waiting for it to stop.
How long do these episodes end up being in the beginning?
I think we try to aim for 10 minutes.
Okay. So which is funny because I ended up being such a pivotal like time.
Yeah.
Because if it was over 10 minutes and you could have more than one ad in the video.
Oh, right.
And everyone was making their videos like a few years 10 later.
10 minutes and one second.
Just to push it over so they could have mid-roll ads.
And I think originally we tried to keep, I don't know what the runtime on this is, but I think we tried to keep it under 10 for some psychological reason. Like if it says 9
Probably.
Something,
yeah.
People won't be so scared of it.
Yeah, it was actually scary to upload something that looked too long.
Right.
Because we're like, oh, they might not click it if it looks too long.
Yeah, because people are still so used to like 3 minutes.
The 3 minute mark was like the ideal.
Yeah.
Because I want to see you just in drawing form playing a tambourine with an afro. Okay. Never in real life.
We have something special for you. Link's going to break it out.
Oh, gosh. It's a wheel.
A wheel.
There's games.
But we have something new, something that is going to be a part of every Good Morning, Good Mythical Morning.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah, you don't even know what the show's called at this point.
That is the Wheel of Mythicality.
Do you still have a Wheel of Mythicality?
Oh, yeah. We're going to end a given episode. We've got 24 spots up here. We filled them in, and we want you to begin filling them in with how you want us to end the show.
I don't know what it is about this wheel, but when I touch it, I want to do this.
You want to bob your head? Yeah, I'll play the tambourine that I played in my dream.
Shall I spin this wheel?
Oh.
It's going to land on something. We don't know what it is.
I like how some say TBD because you just couldn't fill out the wheel yet.
And you said they could suggest things?
Rhett impersonate Link.
Oh, here we go.
So they can tweet us or Facebook us in order to suggest things to replace this and add new things to the wheel.
When I wake up in the morning, I have to make sure that the water is at an optimal temperature to brush my teeth. Sometimes I just take a head shower. Sometimes I just put my foot in underneath the current of water, which is approximately 82 degrees Fahrenheit.
Tell the people goodbye, and we'll see them tomorrow.
And while I'm doing
that, you're like, stop! You're trying to edit him now.
The fact that you watch this show, Good Mythical Morning, and we would really like you to continue watching.
Why are your
show,
eyes crossed?
And I will be washing my knee at 3 o'clock today. See you tomorrow.
Wow. And the subscribe button.
Nice. The classic.
Every Monday through Friday on Rhett and Link 2.
Wow.
Rhett and Link 2.
Oh, yeah, it was before you even renamed the channel.
Mm-hmm.
I think I shed a sympathetic tear for those guys.
Yeah?
Why are you shedding tears?
Because they were so hopeful.
Yeah.
And it somehow it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. This must feel like, I'm trying to think of the word, like...
Put it in the description.
I forgot the word.
Put it in the description.
Like, not justified, but...
Validating.
Yes.
There we go.
It must feel validating. You kind of have like a mission statement, and you're like, this is what we're going to do, and you can expect that. And then you did it, and this was over 10 years ago, and you're still doing it.
2,600 episodes in.
I think that, you know, the reality is it wasn't as big of a risk or commitment as it seems. Like, you can talk as big as you want, and you kind of got, it's marketing. And then if it tanked, no one remembered anyway.
You're right. You're right. So you just established what you wanted it to be.
Yeah.
You set those goals. You put it out there. You set the expectation for yourself or for the audience, and you just kept going.
And build it up and forget about it if it fails.
Yeah. Did it feel like it took a while to catch on?
Yeah.
Okay. So you
first 2 years were pretty slow, but we were beginning to get a little bit of traction, but it wasn't. We had no idea that it was going to become the main thing, and that was never even really the idea, right? Shortly after that, January 2013, we hired Stevie. Mm-hmm. We hired Stevie to make the Mythical Show, which was basically like, let's take this stuff that we've learned from Good Mythical Morning of us kind of sitting at a desk and talking, and let's do a variety show that is sort of centered around us at the desk, but then has music videos and sketches and all the stuff that we can do, right?
Yeah.
And that was funded by YouTube. It was 30 minutes. It was 12 episodes every week. Weekly episode. That was a little bit ahead of its time in terms of conceptually, not necessarily comedically, but people were like, I don't want to sit down and watch something for 30 minutes. Yeah. But we had hired Stevie, who had then kind of built out a small team. And at the time when we were making what we called the Mythical Show, We were like, this is what we're moving into. This is what we really want to do. We like to be the talk show thing, but what we love is the creativity and these other bigger ideas. Can we bring them all together into one thing? But because it didn't catch on, as we were kind of getting to that final episode, the intention was not to go back and make more Good Mythical Morning. That was never the intention. The intention was that, like, all right, Good Mythical Morning was a good thing that really worked for a couple of years, but now we've got this team. Maybe we should make more Good Mythical Morning because we can make this even more efficiently now, and we've got this set that we, you know, we've got the desk that we had made. I think we all reluctantly, I know I was reluctantly like, let's go back to making more Good Mythical Morning and everything else we want to do.
Yeah.
But at the time had no idea that, oh no, that decision to go back to making Good Mythical Morning and then it becoming this thing that just began, you know, that 2014 was around the corner when the algorithm would really start rewarding it. It ended up being this really strategic decision that then built Mythical Entertainment in a way that allows us to do everything else we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were there times when you doubted it and you're like, we should not have committed to 5 days a week at 6 a.m.?
I think only early on when it was like, oh God, we just need to.
We were just trying to find a way.
This sucks. Let's go to lunch.
Yeah.
We'll try again.
We were like, once we could find a way to make it efficient and make it not such a, you know, not something that we have to think about every single day. And we started doing more like, let's shoot more than one in a day, you know?
Was there a time when you wouldn't want people to know that you batch shot? Because I feel like people on the internet in those days, like 10 years ago, were like, but it's every day, you shot it every day. I don't know, like there's some resistance to that.
We were for a long time.
Yeah.
For a long time. Yeah, I mean, even now there's sort of this thing in the back of your head that's just like, you know, I'll, if somebody asks, I'll say it, but like I, because they want to believe that you do it every single day and that this was, you like, you made it today, didn't you?
Yeah,
and then you guys got up at midnight.
That is your entire life.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what you want to believe? Yes, that's what we do.
Yeah, but that's so hard and not sustainable.
Mm-mm. Right.
Like, you would have burnt out forever.
We would have stopped a long time ago.
Right,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, we did shoot this the day that it uploaded.
Yeah. Right, of course.
Very fresh.
Because we care.
Because we know it's what you want.
Yeah.
And we'll give you anything you
want. So it is 3 a.m. right now. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for getting up.
Yeah. And I know you did the morning routine before you got here, so.
Right. Yeah, it was,
but we haven't.
My water is just now gotten hot.
Okay, good.
Was this
good,
a shave
good.
Day or a?
This is a head shower day.
Okay.
Head shower day. Yeah. I think it's time we go to one of our most important segments.
One of our new segments.
One of our new segments. Hmm.
And we like to call it.
Are you happy?
Are you happy?
Are you happy?
Are you happy?
Is that a question or is something about happy?
Are you happy?
It's a question and the name of the segment, which is, I like, that's good marketing. I like that.
Yeah.
Thanks. You know, we took it from some guys that were like, oh, it's going to be a mythical morning.
Are you happy?
Are you happy?
Are you happy?
I'm as happy as I've ever been.
Get out of here.
I'm so
Why does
happy.
That sound sarcastic? Yeah.
No, I am so happy.
And
I am the happiest I've ever been. I mean, how could I not be? Come on.
I am in the same place, and I think that, honestly,
I'm sorry,
honestly,
I'm happy.
A big part of it is Good Mythical Morning is this thing that we figured out how to do and how to keep it in a certain amount of time, right?
And to have the most fun in that time.
Yeah, and very recently we released a video that kind of explained the fact that we are now, instead of trying to write pilots and movies and do all the traditional stuff that we've kind of been doing on the side for a number of years, we're kind of taking all of those creative ideas and ambition and putting it directly back into YouTube on the OG channel.
Oh.
With a show that's coming out in the fall.
Yeah, so we've got a show.
So we're working on that.
Hell yeah.
That we're filming now, right now that will come out like 6 weeks, early August.
Got it. So you can't say any details yet?
No.
Nothing.
I mean, the best indicator of what we're going to do is taking what we did on the Red Link channel last year and kind of where we're doing a bunch of different things. And kind of in some ways, it's not anything like the Mythical show in which it was a variety show, but it is the spirit of it in that if it's something that we feel like we're good at doing in the content space, it is on the table to be a part of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that's going into it. And I think because we're making something and we're working together, creating things, we're working with our team, that's great, and we know that it's going to translate into something that we can show to our audience. I mean, I'm just having a really, really good time with that.
Yeah. Why do you think this is the right time for that? Because you had walked away from your main channel for a long time.
It just took a long time for us to become convinced that, like, trying to develop things that no one ever saw
that was what was happening. Like once we realized that, like, I mean, there was all of that effort, then there was the pandemic, and then on the other side of it, it's like, oh, what are we gonna do? We just kind of got fed up with working on things that no one ever saw.
Mm-hmm. And I think at the same time, I mean, for me, a big thing that's been happening over the past couple of years is just sort of a reorientation of the way I think about creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act, The Way of Being, was really big for me last year in terms of just, and you guys I'm sure can relate to this because we both have tried a lot of things, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. For a lot of different people, and we've been told by a lot of different people that we should try this or we should try that, or people will buy this or buy that. And so you do a lot of creative things with other people in mind, or even with an audience in mind, versus starting from a personal place of like, what is the thing that we can create, that only we can create, that isn't better in some competitive sense to some standard that's out there, but it's just legitimately like, you know, I think of it like a fingerprint, like only you can make your fingerprint. Only the two of us can put our two fingers together and make a unique fingerprint. And is it better or worse than somebody else's right fingerprint?
Actually, I changed.
Well, we don't have a thing to just, do that on.
Once I started to do it, it started to feel weird.
But the idea that like, we can figure out what is it that we can do and like actually bring that into the world. Like that's something that is, my mentality has been changing kind of drastically over the past couple of years. And then to be like, oh, we're immediately turning around and making that thing right now. And then people are going to get to see it. And there's a lot of joy in that.
Yeah. So we're feeling really good about it. It's going to be wonderful.
So it's more creative self-expression rather than the marketing and thinking about how it will be received, and more so coming from a place of like, I want to create this art.
And also like having complete control over it and having the distribution for it and not having to worry about like appeasing some rando in Hollywood or
somebody else's interests.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, no, we're going to put it out in August and it's going on our channel. That's awesome.
Also, you have the funding from your other successful shows now to back it up.
Yeah, it's all, because we're not going to, as currently forecasted, we are going to lose money by, by just making a half hour comedy show that just goes up on YouTube.
We're investing.
So it's an investment.
Sure.
You know, but we're able to do that because of, you know, Good Mythical Morning working so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's big.
And have you talked about what you are manifesting this to become? Like, do you have big, big plans in your head, kind of like you did for Good Mythical Morning? Or are you at this point just kind of seeing where it goes?
We know what all the episodes are now. So I can say that it's going to be an unexpected journey every episode for anybody who wants to come on that ride.
Okay. Hell yeah. We'll be on that ride.
I think it's an interesting, I don't really consider myself a person of faith anymore in that sense, but I think that making the show is a faith-based decision, right?
Yeah.
It's like having faith in the idea that if you just make the thing that you want to make, like that's always a good decision as a creative person. Just mm-hmm. make the thing that you want to exist in the world, right?
Yeah.
Just see what happens. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how people are going to respond to it. But the joy that we're getting from it.
It's going to be the best thing we've ever made.
Well, I wasn't done with my point. I was making a great point.
Yeah.
The joy.
If it sucks, you won't remember it.
The joy in it is happening right now.
Yes.
The joy isn't in the response in August. The joy is, it's happening right now. Like we're getting what we want out of it right now.
Hey, that's art.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, if you set your barometer for success on how much did I enjoy making this thing, then you are already succeeding.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's why we're so damn happy.
That's right. Good. So to answer that question, sounds like yes.
Yeah.
You are. Okay.
You believe us now?
I believe now.
I believe now. Yeah.
Those
now
guys that you've explained, cannot be that happy.
I believe. I was like, there's no way he could actually be that happy.
Right.
Sadly, we haven't had anyone yet say that they weren't happy. So that's why we're so cynical.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. We're trying to find that one person that admits it.
I hope somebody does.
There'll be one.
Yeah.
We'll do a quick therapy session.
But we believe you guys.
I believe you.
We believe you.
Are you also working on a book?
We have worked on it. And by worked on it, we are presenting the book. It's the Mythical Cookbook. And so the Mythical Kitchen team, they're the ones who did all the work on this. So this is something that's a long time coming. The kitchen team has created all these incredible recipes for the show, and they have their own channel, the Mythical Kitchen channel, of course. The fans have been asking for so long for this, and we wanted to wait until it was the right moment, and we did. And they put together the Mythical Cookbook, which has all the stuff that we've enjoyed on the show that the fans have wanted to try, plus a bunch of new original recipes. Mm. And then it's also got a lot of really funny actual words in there besides just how to make things, because it's, you know, it's a mythical, yeah, it's a mythical, yeah, thing. So it's a creative exercise, and Josh is a great writer.
Yes.
The Mythical Chef Josh and the Mythical Kitchen team, you know, put this thing together. And
what's your favorite thing on the, have you tried some of the recipes?
I've tried a bunch of things.
Because Josh is kind of a madman.
There's a,
yeah, like he's always amazing. Posting weird ass stuff on, yeah, on Instagram.
There's an In-N-Out mac and cheese. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. So good.
It's basically like an animal style mac and cheese.
Mm.
It's just as good as it sounds.
They invented like the tastiest cheese steak I've ever had.
Yeah, there's like some take on a cheese steak.
It's very interesting. I can't even remember. I was like, but this is awesome.
Mythicalcookbook.com.
Boom.
Yeah.
You can grab yours.
And we didn't even get into how you have so many other channels too. So many other parts of
podcasts,
what you do.
Yeah, I mean, stuff.
You're not on the show, you're not in every episode, but you, like, it's crazy to think that starting from here, like, this kind of birthed so many things, including,
yeah,
the
Mythical
Cooking Channel.
Kitchen.
Yeah, Mythical, yeah, Kitchen, and, yeah, all these other ventures.
It's crazy.
Wild. Well, before we go, we do have a little gift for you guys. Something that we feel...
We don't want your legs. Uh-oh.
We won't give those
you
away.
Can't have... Well, these are our real legs, so...
Yeah, so we can't give you those.
We can't give you those.
But there is something behind that couch, mm-hmm, that you can grab.
And it's not a brand new car.
It's not a brand new car.
Oh,
something
it's
that we
wrapped.
Feel like
it's wrapped up for you.
We've observed you both over the years, and we feel like this is something that we can, that can really benefit.
Nice wrapping job.
Thank you. I did it myself.
I mean, when you run out of wrapping tape, use purple tape. And when you run out of that, use black
electrical
duct tape.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's purple electrical tape.
Okay, so.
So you might need a little assembly here.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But
this is a Rock'em Sock'em
set. Rock'em Sock'em.
But yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead,
it is,
go ahead and
customized.
Set them up.
Yep. Wow. So that
this
one.
This is how we can work through our problems.
This is how we figure this is more healthy for you guys to work through your problems.
Yeah.
What
in
problems?
Your next disagreements.
Can you recognize the
similarities?
The similarities here? Can you.
It's got the, yeah, jaw. It's got the jaw strength.
Well, here's you. The thing. We. I think you might have remembered
Edward
this.
Cullen?
Back on Ear Biscuits when we, you know, we would have guests on the show. We had you guys on the show. Anytime we had a duo on the show, we would ask them what they do to work through their problems. And I remember the Corridor Digital guys were talking about how they had like a card that you could play every single day where it was just like, if you have a disagreement, you can play the card and then it's over. And we never had anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had, we just kind of just talk until somebody wins.
Right.
So there's a winner? There's always a winner and a loser in the discussion?
This will be more efficient.
There's always a compromise.
So this will be more efficient if you guys ever have that.
I don't know how to.
Might have to set it on a table. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's actually.
Aren't you guys engineers? Aren't you supposed to
it
like.
It has to be on a flat surface because it's made to pop off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Maybe get that box.
Oh, we got an Apple box.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. This is you.
All right.
This is me.
Yeah. So what's something that you commonly disagree about?
Oh, no.
Is it?
You expect me to play with a toy and talk?
Aren't you guys?
That ain't happening.
Didn't you guys, like, go to college for engineering?
I told
shouldn't you. Shouldn't
yeah,
you
but
know?
Not engineering toys. I mean, first of all, let me just see that this is even possible.
See, I made mine work.
Oh, there we go. That's how you do it.
And then, wait, guys. Here we go.
Oh, great. Now the top rope is down.
I got mine.
We'll
edit
this out.
I got mine.
No, we will. No, we're going to do this old GMM style, and there's no cuts in this.
We're just going to write in the description how this ended up.
Gah!
Oh, there we
got
go.
It.
That sounded good.
That sounded good.
Yep. And then I'm going to put this back here.
Okay. All right.
And then
we ready
I
to
think
rumble?
You're trying to knock another person's head off, right?
No, I think they've rigged it so when we push these buttons, they make out with each other.
Oh, I hope
how
so.
How you guys work.
The fan fiction fuel here. So, yeah. I don't know. Is his arm not pumping?
Oh,
I don't need my left arm's the pumper. My right arm's the pointer.
What?
My left arm.
Something about this not working. I think something about the it's attachment kinda, of the other head.
Yeah.
Let's just
hug. Just embrace.
Maybe just embrace. Yeah. See?
Okay. You know
See,
what?
You guys don't need to fight.
In the
it's
end,
a collaboration tool.
Exactly. Yeah. In the end, it's not about fighting. It's about embracing. It's about embracing the differences, accepting one another.
Wow. It looks like you're gonna have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah. This is just for me.
Wow. So this is the way that
Well, Link, you've got really good opinion. You really have a lot of foresight, and what you're currently saying is something that I'm really taking note of. Mm. Thank you for cutting me off in conversation repeatedly so that you can say a better thing.
Yeah.
Wow, you're already working this, guys. Through it.
Wow. That was big. I feel like that was a pivotal moment for your guys' friendship. I'm glad we could facilitate that.
We'll treasure
that.
This forever.
You better.
Unless you need to return.
We better see this in the background of GMM.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see. We might have to.
Yeah, yes.
Put it next to your guitar. I think it'll be just as important.
How's this? I will thank you for cultivating gratitude. You know, it's we're very fortunate to have made it from there to here and to say we're as happy as we are, even if we are lying.
Now I'm really starting to consider that you might be lying.
You never know.
We're always manifesting.
Never know.
Well, boys, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for obviously rescuing Smosh and then giving it back to us. Thank you for
sharing.
I know.
Thank you for sharing custody with Trevor.
Yeah.
Thank you for all this. From 1 7-foot-tall duo to 1 6-foot-something short.
Yeah, short asses.
Short asses. Thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you guys. This was fun.
If you have YouTubers you want to see on the show, preferably ones that are younger
and taller.
Yeah.
I venture to guess you're not going to have to try to find younger YouTubers.
No?
Name an older YouTuber than us that you would have on the show. Somebody who's older than 46 years old.
I think they were ending their show.
Jerry,
I could think of one, but I don't want to say his name.
Okay.
I don't want to manifest
that. Better get him before he dies.
Oh.
Oh. Oh yeah.
But I can't think of I can't think of an older person I'd want to bring on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You that's
now I'm happy.
Good. 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 And if you have any songs that you would like us to play, we got some theme songs created by you. We're gonna play one at the end of the show. Go ahead and submit yours on the Smosh chord.
The crappier the better.
Yeah.
No, actually, give us some good ones. Ren and Link, thank you so much. I'm sure you guys have to get back to whatever.
Yeah, we've got to talk to each other in front of other cameras.
Right.
Great.
Yeah.
Mildly bicker.
Mildly bigger cameras?
No,
mildly,
bicker.
Yeah, we're...
Mildly bigger cameras.
Yeah, guys, we got bigger cameras. Your cameras are so much bigger than your cameras.
Get out of here. You can't be around these small cameras
Mildly
anymore.
Bicker.
Yeah.
In front of another set of cameras. That's kind of what we do.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much. Woo! And I will walk myself out.
Yeah, we'll be right behind you.
We'll be right there.
Well, I just gotta.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, we should
put my leg in a splint.
We want to watch you go first. Go ahead.
Yeah,
take off.
Let's see what happens.
All right.
Just casual.
Ooh. Ooh. I'm hearing the cracking.
You're built like a chicken.
You would be so fast if those functioned. Can you imagine how quick you could get across town?
Hey, stop playing footsie with me, bro.
Stop
playing footsie with me, bro. Stop playing footsie with me, bro.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye. Oh.
Forgot your shoes.
Bye.
It's okay. I think we can cut.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.